Our text is in Philippians chapter 4 that we've been considering again, and in verse 11 where it says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content.
Yes.
And this was something that the Apostle Paul had learned. Not a simple thing. And we come this evening to consider aggravations to the sin of murmuring or of complaining. What things make this worse? What aggravates it? If you ever cut yourself as a little child and you had a scab, your mum would always say to you, don't pick it, you'll make it worse. And so there are some things we can do that make our discontentedness worse. They aggravate it. And these are the things, because discontentedness or murmuring or complaining towards God is very hard to overcome, we need to consider various angles, and one of them is the things that aggravate it or make this complaining worse. So I have 11 things here this evening. The first one is somewhat longer than the other 10, so don't think, oh, it's going to be a long time, because the first one's long. Well, 11 things that aggravate a discontentedness that we should seek to avoid. And the first is that in a time of great mercy, to still be complaining on small matters of affliction, it greatly aggravates this sin. It makes it much worse. When we're in a time of such blessing, well, you may say, well, no, we're not in a time of great blessing. Our country is just about to legalize same-sex marriage. The whole generation is going off the rails. We're living in desperate times. We've got reason to be discontent. But if you read in the book of Lamentations, which comes just after Jeremiah, the Lamentations of Jeremiah, you read how he speaks in chapter 3. This is supposed to be one of the saddest books in the Bible, Lamentations. Oh, the city of Jerusalem's all been destroyed. But listen how Jeremiah writes here, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. In the midst of what you can only determine as a catastrophe, he remembered God's mercies to him, which are the greatest things. So let us be like Jeremiah in times of affliction. And remember that really, we're in a time of great mercy. You would think the way some Christians go on, that they're living in a most terrible time. But we're living in days of salvation in Jesus Christ. We have every reason why these afflictions that come past us, we should think of them as being quite light in comparison to the glory that is revealed, to be revealed in us. We have grace and we have salvation. We are not in hell, where if it was left to us, we would have been in hell long ago. This is a greater mercy than any affliction. So to be murmuring in such state is a great sin. In Numbers chapter 16, and verse 8, we read of the, it's the Kohathites, part of the priestly tribe. They had a privileged job to Korah, one of these people that had great responsibility to the tabernacle. In verse 9, it says, Moses says to Korah, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. So these people were complaining and rebelling, where actually they were making it seem like a small thing that they'd already got a great privilege to draw near to God, as we all have in Christ. If we're Christians, we have a great privilege. We've spoken about this, some of this before, being the sons of the King. The Christian is the son of a king. And so, in times of great mercies, to be complaining is a very sinful thing to be doing. We're undermining, downplaying all the great goodness that God has done. This is especially true for ministers. Those of you who have been in the ministry as well, we have particular burdens in the ministry, but we shouldn't murmur, because we have the privilege of especially studying the Word of God more than others are able to do, and to be close to the Lord in a way, again, that others, that many don't find so easy. If we read that account of Job, and you see his good example. When his wife told him to curse God and die, suggested to him, terrible thing to say to anybody, but
his wife didn't leave him to say
it. No, yeah, so she ended up having a lot more children at the end, which is lovely. But he said in Job chapter 2 and verse 10, he said, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? He didn't just see the evil upon him. He knew that he'd received great good as well. And so he didn't spoil that by by forgetting that he'd received good from God. We must be thankful for God's mercies, even in days of affliction. And in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14, it says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. So God, and it says, to consider what? It says, it goes on, God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing in himself. God has set good days, you could say sunny days, and you could say rainy days. And you think of how you might feel when the weather's like, changes like that. But good and bad, generally, God has set the two over one against the other so that we don't depend on ourselves. That's the purpose of God doing this. And so we shouldn't be lost in gloom when there are hard days, evil days, because God has set the one over the other for us to consider. We must rather take the mercies and blessings and not aggravate God through discontentment, but help in afflicted times. Remember the blessed, count your blessings, is the saying, isn't it? And here's one other way to battle down a complaining spirit. Think like this. If we sin as Christians, we go to the Lord for forgiveness, and we expect and know that we receive forgiveness in Jesus Christ, who died for all of the sins of his people, past, present and future, and we have a clean slate with God. We go to God in repentance and for forgiveness. And likewise, in affliction, we can call to mind all the mercies of God toward us and thank God for the blessings which are greater and more real. So this is our first and our longest point. This murmuring in the midst of mercies is an aggravation of this sin. And let us be wary of it, that when we have got such mercy from God, that we're not dwelling on murmuring and complaining about some afflictions. Now, as I said, the other 10 points are a lot briefer. It seems like a large number, but they're quite brief, some of these. Now, our second point then. It's a great sinful thing to be complaining over much, over small matters, small things. Now, it's easy to do this, to find a small thing can irritate you very much. There was a man who's been written about who had a very, very great, lovely house, big house, and a wonderful gardens to go with his house. And he was known to complain and get very annoyed just when there's a few leaves on the ground. Well, this was thought, this is a very bad thing. Had he forgotten that the good things are so much greater and the little things would annoy him? When Naaman's servant in 2 Kings told him to go and wash, he was told by the prophet to go and wash in the river Jordan, he thought it was a bit below him. He said to him, if the prophet had required of you some great thing, would not you have done it? You see, if people have got a big challenge, in some ways it's easier. I don't know if you've seen, people would sometimes be able to suffer some big burden more easily than a small one. For example, some people have maybe lost parts of their limbs. You see these people come back from the war, and they've got those false legs on, and they do running and jumping around. They seem to be doing pretty well. And then you can see someone with a minor ailment, and it seems to be the most terrible thing that's happened, and it's only very slight. And you can see what a sin this is when God is so good to his people, that we could be so aggravated by small, very small things. And it's something, isn't it, to do with seeing the beam in your own eye, and there's a little spot, and we see that, and we must be aware of this, that we don't get caught up on a small thing and think of it as something terrible that's happened to us, when it's actually nothing. And we should be able to endure, if we were told to endure some big hardship, we'd probably take it on as a challenge. Oh yes, I can stand that, I can put up with that. But the other things, we could find that we get very agitated or irritable or be complaining to God and be unhappy with God for the way things are with us, when it actually is a very small thing. And so that is a very sinful thing, to be particularly upset about small things. And well, maybe when you think about things, you think, oh, I'm upset about that. Just say to yourself, actually, hold on a minute. It's quite small, isn't it? Maybe I can think of the good things in Jesus Christ and not be too bothered about these things. And then I can be thankful to God. I can want to be happy and thankful for him and live for the things that he's done, and not be wasting my time on being troubled about things which are really very small, although they seem big to us at the time. Well, the next point, the third one, is that if a person is very strong or very able, then for them to be complaining like a little child that doesn't know any different, that again is a very shameful and sinful thing. There, if we remember King Ahab in the Old Testament, his wife noticed that he was sad. Why was he sad? Because Naboth wouldn't give him or sell him his vineyard. Just a little vineyard. This man Ahab was the king of Israel. He should have been really content with what he had, but for some reason he wanted this little vineyard. A man of great power, ability, and authority was brought down to sadness. Again, over quite a small thing. It was very shameful. If he'd have been a man who hadn't owned anything, you can understand him. I like a vineyard. I haven't got anything. This man was a man of power and authority. And so, for any of us who are other than little children, we've got some strength. God's given us strength. He's given us great grace. He's brought us to confess our sins, to put our trust in Jesus Christ, and he's given us his promises of heaven. Well, you think, I'm not a great strong person, I've not got very much ability. But actually, no. In Jesus Christ, you've got a tremendous amount. And so if you're complaining on these matters and murmuring at God with discontentness, you're doing a sinful act also. Well, may the Lord again grant us to realize that we've been given great strength in him and that we need to stand. Then fourthly, the consideration of the freeness of God's mercies, the free that all that God has given to us, he's given us freely. All of eternal life, the forgiveness of our sins, freely given by God in Jesus Christ. And if we are to be murmuring when we've received things so freely from God, that aggravates this sin yet more. I remember once I cooked some food for a friend and his French girlfriend, and the French are particularly fussy about food, some of them anyway. And I don't know if it was a very big meal or it took a lot of effort, but anyway, it was something to do and something I did, and I said, well, what was that like? And I think it was probably a joke, hopefully, but she said, if I was starving, I would have thought of that as being something of a treat. Which is funny, isn't it? But how rude, really. If she was sincere in what she said, it was really quite rude. I'd given her free food just because it wasn't exactly what she liked. She decided to put it in such a way as to be so unthankful. And if we're not careful, if we're complaining, well, the food, if we're invited to eat and it's not quite the way we like it, well, that's just one of those things. We're thankful that it's free. And so, with the way that God has dealt with us, the way he's laid things out, as we said before, we're strangers. We're soldiers. We're pilgrims in a foreign land. We've got better things ahead of us. So, let us accept that God's mercies are free towards us. And so, we should be very thankful and not complaining in such a way. Now, the next point, number five, to not be content when we've been given what we previously wanted is also a great sin. Suppose, for example, that a person has been in great trouble and they've prayed. Well, you forget you prayed perhaps, and suddenly, after a while, well, you've forgotten about it. But in fact, your prayer has been answered. You've been brought out of some affliction and you've been delivered. Well, your prayers have been answered. And you should be thanking God. How marvelous. I can remember back to this time and such a condition. And now the Lord has helped me. I've got everything I need, actually. But if someone then continues, as if they take it for granted. They were hungry. They prayed for food. Food came. They eat the food. And then they're grumpy again. Well, that's very sinful again. These such a thing aggravates God, and it aggravates this sin of discontentment. So I think that's enough on that one. Now, number six, when others of us, it's another way of considering this, what aggravates this sin of discontentment? If you've been raised from a very poor condition, some people are born into the world without anything, orphans, or all sorts of states, have been a beggar or something like that, or just from a poor family where there's been no understanding of the gospel at all, and they've been converted, they've been brought up in much better ways, their life has been transformed, really, if they hadn't have been for God stepping in, if it hadn't have been for certain circumstances, they'd still be the poorest of the poor, they'd still be begging, they'd still be ungodly, yet they've been given so much. Simple things, maybe. Maybe we haven't become kings and rulers and etc., but we've been brought from a low estate to a much better estate. Of course, we have the hope of heaven in Christ. Now, if we're discontent when we've been lifted up so much, we should be thankful. The Lord brought me from the pit, from the mire. From being a beggar, he sat me among princes in Christ. And as Paul writes to Timothy, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. A Christian has been invited to the great wedding banquet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God, the Bridegroom Christ, and the people of God are the bride of Christ to be brought to him. How unworthy we are for such a thing. What a lifting up we've had to be brought and sat in such a high place. We've been taken from the lowest seat. And it's as if Christ has said to us, come up higher, higher, higher. And he sat you on a throne with him. This is what it is to be a Christian. It's greater than being lifted up from being a beggar to being someone with a bit of money, much greater. And how unworthy we are. Could we be murmuring, complaining against the way that God has laid out things for us in this life, in which he's teaching us many things? Or should we be thankful to God for his great grace toward us? Let us be wary of murmuring when God has lifted us up. Remember also, number seven, and we're going through these at a good speed now. I know there's a few more to go. For the Lord, those who've been very great sinners and very ungodly in the former life, to now be discontent when we've been accepted in Christ. Well, this I don't want to go on at too much length. This is similar kind of thing, isn't it, in some ways, from being poor, from being very wicked, you see. We deserve God's wrath, but especially having lived, some of us, I don't know, all of us have lived very ungodly lives for some years. And then we've seen Jesus Christ and trusted in him, and we've been changed, we've been born again, and have a desire to live to please him, though we do it very badly. How can we be complaining when we've been lifted up in such a manner? God has forgiven your sins, which were far more than sufficient to have sentenced you to hell's torments forever. How can you now complain at some suffering you endure as if you're not worthy of it, as if you're above all that? Rather, the reminder of our former sinful lives should humble us and cause us to be thankful for God's amazing grace towards sinners. Now, eighthly, when we consider how little use we are in the Lord's service, but then If we're then complaining, we sin all the more. That may sound harsh, but we should examine ourselves how much we are in the Lord's service. If we were serving the Lord with gladness, we wouldn't have much time for discontentment, going about all we do to the glory of God. But if we're just considering ourselves and our estate, we'll soon find the gloom and despair and complaining comes upon us. Jesus said to the disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And he says, as he commands them to go, "Lo, I am with you always." In serving the Lord, they are assured of the Lord's promise with them. Now, ninthly, in our affliction, when we are afflicted, God may be about to humble us in a way. It's part of God's workings towards us. And he does it to bring about certain things. To use us, perhaps. For example, if we're then complaining about that, fighting against it, we're not going to bring ourselves into God's ways in the way that we should. For example, in John 15 and verse 2, Jesus says, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." That's a painful cutting off of branches, "that it may bring forth more fruit." So this is how God works with his people. He brings us down to the point to humble us, so that all our dependence is upon him, that he may use us. So sometimes when you're afflicted, realize God may be humbling you to prepare you in his service, to depend upon him and not to depend upon yourselves. Now we have just two more brief points. Tenthly, when some affliction comes upon us that's very dramatic, extraordinary, or remarkable, it is also a great sin to have a complaint against God. Because again, such things are special workings of God. When God appeared to Moses, the mountain was on fire and shook. He gave the Ten Commandments solemnly, in a solemn manner, written with the very finger of God. This was to be taken seriously. A shock came upon him, and it was to be taken seriously. And likewise, when God afflicts in a powerful way, in extreme forms, we should take this as a strong mark of God's intervention and be very thankful for it. Someone has perhaps come to a terminal illness or a sudden bereavement, difficult things. But we should be sure that such things are of the Lord, just as it was with Job. These things are set out by God. Let us not resist his ways. Of course we have feelings, but let us be sure that we trust the Lord in such things. When things are so obvious, as it were, something we would never have expected to happen happens, then this is a time to take heed. When things happen to David in Psalm 119, verse 67, he says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word." It changed him. If he hadn't been afflicted, and so it must have been some great affliction. David had many great afflictions. Before that, he was going astray. Changed him. And again, in verse 71 of Psalm 119, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." I don't know if you can say that when some afflictions come upon you. "It's good for me that I might learn thy statutes." See, it's part of what we described in the previous one, but God humbling us to use us. So we just see everything we've got as coming from heaven. So how dependent we can be upon the Lord. When there's a great sign of some affliction, let us not sin by murmuring against God in such times. Then finally, when an affliction lasts a long time, this is a hard, you think, well, it's gone on a long time. Actually, to be complaining against God is something we should have learned. When something happens suddenly, perhaps, you're thrown off course for a little bit. And God will be, we trust, patient with you if you don't initially submit to his chastening. It says in Hebrews, no chastening for the present is joyous, but grievous. Yeah. Hebrews 12, verse 11, it continues, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So there comes a time when God he brings on us some affliction and disciplines us, and we must be subdued to it and learn this contentment over time to trust the Lord, and then we get a sense of this peaceable fruit of righteousness. And then finally, just to conclude, those verses we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, which perhaps sum up this whole matter of how do we deal when you think there's so many things that I could be complaining about that are wrong. How do I manage? How do I cope with it all? It says here, summing up these things in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under him. Pray to him. We had all those prayers in the litany. We prayed lots of things there. And you can always look that up and pray through some of those prayers yourself again. And so humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You see, if we wait patiently upon the Lord, he'll hear our voice, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. See, we've got many cares, many concerns, many things we're not sure about. Can we do what we think we've got to do? Are there things that seem to be too much for us? Humble yourselves under the hand of God. He's almighty. Great power. And we can cast all our cares upon him. And then when we go to bed at night, we can put our head on the pillow and we can be very content. And let us therefore, whatever state we're in, learn that there are these sins that aggravate God. They bring God's wrath upon us. They aggravate the sense of sinfulness about murmuring, when there's such great mercy toward us, summing up briefly, when there's small things, when we're actually stronger than we think we are and more able, when God's mercy is free toward us, when we've been given things that we previously wanted, when we've been raised up from a lower state, when we've been saved from great sins, when we're really of so little use, when the Lord is preparing us to use us by humbling us, when there are clear signs of strong, extraordinary acts of God in afflicting us, and when there's a long-lasting affliction, let us be humbled under the mighty hand of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have perhaps realized one or two things or more this evening where we may have sinned against thee. And yet, Lord, we thank thee that there is hope for thy people for whom Christ has died, and that we are still instructed to humble ourselves before thee and cast our cares upon thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the very great things that thou hast freely given, lifting us up, granting us so many mercies and blessings that we could not stop to talk about, we could not finish counting these riches that we have in Christ of everlasting life. Forgive us, Lord, when small things have taken over and have made us complaining to thee, Lord, and grant us in whatsoever state we now are, Lord, to humble ourselves before thee and to learn to be content, that we may be indeed humbled for thy use, for thy service, that we may live happily, thanking thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and commending him to others. In his name we pray. Amen.